Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, welcome to Horse Hour. I'm Amy Frost, and my guest today is the lovely Frankie Murrell. Frankie is Pippa Funnel's head girl. She's groomed at European Championships, Nations Cups, and at the Rio Olympics. Frankie shares loads of advice on grooming, like how to get your horse really white, how to keep them clean when there's mud. And we also ask the question, have you ever used a hairdryer, rollers, and hair extensions? Frankie shares her stories. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Today we are celebrating super grooms, and I'm so excited to welcome Frankie Murrell. She is the head girl for Pippa Funnel and based at the Billy Stud. How are you, Frankie?
Hi, good, thank you.
Thank you for spending your day off talking to me. I mean, that's probably the last thing you want to do. You want to sleep, I should imagine.
Oh no, just a nice chilled out day. Always good.
Do you get much time off? Because I hear how hard you guys work. I mean, it's like sometimes it's 7 days a week, 24/7.
Yeah, you sort of have your 6 day week as such, and then you get time off when you can. But to be honest, the job's something that you do for love. So If you get time off, it's a bonus. If not, you're just enjoying your life, you know, traveling and yeah.
How amazing. I mean, to be able to spend, you must love horses to be able to care for them and spend that amount of time. I mean, let's be realistic. We all love what we do, but you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you can be driving the lorry at 12 o'clock at night, and then you've got to put the horses to bed.
Yeah. I mean, God, in the winter, you can hate it. But when you're out in the season and you're just traveling from one event to another, it's, you do. You love it. It's amazing. It's not a job. It's your life. It's a way of life.
Do you have time for a life outside of work?
As I've got a little bit older, I have made sure I do, because at the end of the day, life is too short, you know. You just got to do everything as you go. So yeah, no, I do. I do have life. But to be honest, when you're away so much, the majority of your friends are actually on the circuit. So when you're at events, you're with your friends.
Oh, well, that makes it easier then, doesn't it? So you're never really lonely, because I think sometimes when we're riding, or, you know, we've got to be riders, grooms, transporters. We're lucky if we've got a bit of family with us for support. A lot of the time we're on our own and it can get quite lonely. So I'm glad that you have a support network around you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I don't think you could do it if you didn't have friends when you're away so much there.
And what was it originally? Did you always want to be a groom? What was it that made you want to choose this as a career?
No, I originally wanted to be an interior designer.
Really? Very different.
Obviously, I grew up with horses, but I went to an event with one of my friend's sisters from school. I'd never met the girl in my life, and my friend was like, just go with her. And it was at Hexham Horse Trials. I think I must have been about 16, if not younger, and absolutely just fell in love with it. Didn't know anything about eventing. So yeah, that's where it all began.
And was that when you started riding? So did you start riding at 16?
No, my mum always had horses. So I grew up on ponies, just, you know, nothing special. I think I stayed on the lead rein till I was about 10 because mum was too precious over me. Ridden all my life.
When you fell in love with the eventing then, and you realised that was the life that you wanted, was it then that you wanted to be a groom?
I don't know why, because I mean, at the time, Hexham, you know, it's North England, it's cold. Mm-hmm. You're in a field, but I don't know, just saw all the other grooms running around chasing after their riders, and something just clicked and I loved it.
And if I can ask you the very rude question of how old are you now?
28.
Okay, so it's been 12 years you've been doing this for.
Yeah, I literally left school and went straight into it.
And what did your mum say then? Did she say that it's something that you could leave school, or did she want you to get your GCSEs and your A-levels?
Oh, no, my mum and dad were just go for it, whatever you want to do, whatever you, like your passion is, just do it.
That's amazing.
So, no, they love it. Absolutely love it.
Because I hear some people say, oh, my parents won't let me. They're saying that I've got to get something else behind me, like academically, in case I can't make it work because your industry is so tough.
Yeah, I think a lot. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people like that too. But oh, I think at the end of the day, life, money's money. Horses aren't great money, but you've got to enjoy what you do. Mm. There's no point in sitting in an office if you know that your passion is outside and with animals. So, no, I'd advise anyone just to go and do it.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And now look at you. So 12 years later, you have groomed at the Olympics, you've groomed at Rio, you've been to European Championships, Nations Cups, working for Pippa Funnel at the most amazing stud with the most stunning horses.
Yeah.
How can you fill in the bit in between for us? How did you get from that 16-year-old that was just so passionate and wanted to do this to working for some of the best in the industry?
God, I don't know. I think it's just I don't know. I think it goes back to just loving what you do and find if you get offered opportunities, just take them. If it works out, it works out. Brilliant. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I don't know how I did. Like I just loved horses and just kept climbing up and wanting more and wanting more and just pushed to what I wanted.
I should imagine you're very tenacious. You're very hardworking. I bet there aren't many days that you're off sick.
No, I think I might have had one sick day maybe in my whole career.
Were there any times throughout your career that were tough for you where you thought, I'm not sure if I can keep doing this?
I actually think through the winter. I know it's probably like everybody, isn't it? There's, but I haven't had a stage as such that something's happened that I've gone, oh, no, I can't do this. Mm. No, just the winter.
The winters are tough, especially in the UK. Yeah. And this year it's been particularly bad. It's been so cold and icy and the mud. Oh, the mud. I'm sick of the mud.
March events and October events as well in the mud.
Who knew that mud could smell so bad?
I know, and get everywhere.
I know. I'm going home. My husband's like, you're covered. You've got it in like freckles on your face and along with the hay.
Yeah.
Bless them. But anyway, we're coming into spring now, so it won't be long and we can enjoy you know, a bit of sun and a bit of warmth. But for you, you know, when's your break? When does the eventing season stop and it's just at home work for you rather than going out?
So October. So March to October, we are sort of on the road. So October, all our eventers go out, but then Pitbull sort of have some young billy horses to come in and jump and she'll work on them. So we don't necessarily, I know a lot of event yards sometimes just chuck them out and then the staff will have like a good month off or something. But we're always full, which is fine. You know, you sign up for it. So in
March, let's say, just while we're on the subject of mud, when you're going to events, how does the weather really impact on your job and what you have to do, other than the fact that you're filthy all the time and you're cold? But I should imagine you have the most amazing horse, Billy the Biz, who's just, they say grey, but he's not grey, he's white. No, he's like a unicorn. So how does that impact on what you have to do as a groom?
Well, it obviously makes it tougher. For instance, with Biz or a grey horse, as long as they've left the yard white, you know you've done the best you can. And then when you get to an event, we either tell your rider to stay out the bloody mud or you just keep washing. You know, just if you're proud of your work, then every time you want your horse, if it's in the public eye or it's anyone's eye, you want your horse to be as spotless as possible.
It's a good job dressage is the first day on a 3-day event, really, isn't it? Because otherwise, if they'd done cross country, could you imagine?
God, no.
How do you get Biz that white?
Everyone asks me this. To be honest, he's actually quite easy because he's quite a clean horse. But if he is, he lives in purple shampoo and chalk.
Really?
Basically. Yeah, I mean, I chalk his legs. Because I love it when he's perfectly white. Just looks so cool. But yeah, no sneaky tips or anything with him.
So just standard purple shampoo?
Yeah, just purple shampoo. I purple shampoo like his points, so his mane, his tail and his legs. But his body just gets a good scrub.
And no shine spray?
No, I tried. I mean, occasionally, sort of on him, I wouldn't, but on the bays or the chestnuts, I think that's the shine spray is quite good.
Mm. Works well, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
What are your thoughts on baby oil?
I love baby oil.
I do. It makes them all oh my goodness. Okay, I have the best tip ever, and I'm not a groom. Yeah. And I did this by accident, okay? So I have a Friesian Cross Gelderlander. He's black. Yeah. He's gelded, so he kind of goes brown in the summer, but he's generally black. And I wanted to get him used to the clippers. So I thought, right, okay. My head says, the clippers make a funny noise, so why don't I try a hairdryer on him and get him used to the noise and the vibrations.
Yeah, like it.
Oh my goodness. Have you ever hairdried a horse with a hairdryer? No joke. I challenge you to do this weekend, okay? So when I blow dried Black Jack's fur, it was so shiny. It was really soft, really shiny. And that's because a hairdryer makes your hair, your human hair, shiny because of the ions that's in it. I'm going to get all geeky and technical.
Okay.
And it worked on my horse.
No way. Oh, my God, I'm going to take a hairdryer to work tomorrow.
Please do it. Can you film yourself doing it and send it to us? Because all the girls at the yard have never let me forget this, and they've never let me live it down. And I still swear by hair drying your horse for shine. I mean, it takes ages, but especially in the winter, it was really, he loved it because he was like, oh, dry me.
Oh, that's
warm. Made him really fluffy and shiny. I didn't blow dry his mane. However, I did curl one of the girls' horses' manes before. Yeah, because... They had a photo shoot, and the best tip for curling manes is Velcro rollers.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. So if you wet the mane, here we go, you should be giving us tips.
Frankie. You're giving me some advice.
Yeah, so Velcro rollers, if you put them in when the horse's mane is wet or just slightly damp, leave them in, grip them in overnight, and then put one of your, I don't know what you call them, but you know you've got like a neck... mane protector rug type thing. Put that on them in the morning when you pull out the Velcro.
This is amazing.
They've got curly manes. And one other thing that I did try is I tried hair extensions.
Oh my god.
Because it's crazy, isn't it? Because I need to ask you about your plaiting as well. I'm really bad at plaiting, and my horse's manes falls out. Well, it gets chewed out when they're grooming, you know, being horses. Yeah. So I thought, well, what if I try some hair extensions? And they worked really well because you can cut them, you clip them in, and then trim them to like however long the mane, and then plait. Have you used hair extensions?
Brilliant. No. No, but I'll try that too.
You'll have a little salon at the Billy Stud.
Yeah.
So tell me then, how did you learn to plait?
To be honest, as a kid, I never really plaited. I think obviously you plait your ponies and you just chuck them in. You don't really think about it. It was actually when I worked for Polly Williamson, my first sort of eventing job. She said, you can have a pay rise if you can plait to, you know, a high enough standard. So after work, I'd go down, plait a horse up, leave it in, and she'd check them in the morning. And I just kept doing that until she gave me a pay rise.
Oh, amazing.
And that's pretty much it, really.
So what's your time limit then? How quickly can you plait?
I can chuck some in sort of 20 minutes. But if I want to do proper sort of 3-day plaits, then I'll give myself 45 minutes because they've got to be proper.
Perfect. How do you get all the stray hairs in? The extra bits? Do you cut them
a
off?
A nice bit of gel, or we use NAF. Plait spray, which just sort of gives it a bit of tack to hold, and you can just get it all in.
Is that like hairspray?
No, it's like a sort of squirty, it would be like a spray gel in a way, but doesn't go hard like a gel.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And then do you sew?
I do. I love sewing. Love to sew a plait.
But it's the unpicking that you got to do afterwards.
Oh god. Oh. Yeah, that's the pain bit. That takes a longer process than just pulling your bands out.
Yeah, I'm loving the Diamante bands because they're like a cheat that look good.
Yeah, true. I'm not sure they'd look great on the eventing field. Dressage, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because, you know, they've got to look cool on the cross-country course, definitely. Won't be long before we'd be having, like, different coloured plaits.
Oh, God,
on cross-country.
That rainbow mane.
I'm so excited. In the riders' colours.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yep. Right, you can set a precedent now, Frankie. This is what I expect to see. Nick at Badminton, I want to see flowing manes with hair
red,
extensions.
White, and blue.
That would be brilliant.
Perfect.
And what about the tails then? I guess the tails, do you groom them every single day, even when they've got time off?
No. So they just get brushed when they're being ridden. Because obviously the more you brush it, they're going to fall out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you, quite a few, I find their tails will break if you overbrush them. So always use some spray, helps a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like conditioning spray?
Yeah, exactly. Mane and tail spray just helps it so you're not tugging at their tails.
Mm. You need a Frisian and their hair never falls out.
God, they start with a lot, don't they?
Yeah, it's the mats. It's trying not to get it matty. They just do their own thing.
No, I don't think I could handle that. That's too much hair for me.
And when you trim, I mean, oh my goodness, all your horses look just so stunning and perfect. So the tails are perfectly straight. How I'm there with chopping away at scissors going, you know, this. And whenever I cut the tail with scissors, which is probably really bad, and you're going to probably say don't do that. But I've tried using a comb. There's always an extra lump that isn't the same level.
At the bottom, you say?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, no. So just put your arm underneath the dock and then it raises it a little bit. And then you can sort of run your other arm down, grab it, and then you've got a nice little lump straight across these scissors.
Brilliant.
And that's simple. Be fine.
And do you pull horses' manes when you're doing the manes, or do you use scissors on those?
No, well, Aventers I pull. And then a few of the show jumpers, it's a bit of both. You sort of catch the wispy end bits just to give the jumpers like a bit more of a straight, solid line. But I don't tend to use scissors.
Why not?
It scares me a little bit.
Really?
I think it's just too blunt. It's too paper line. It's too, no, not for me. When you pull it, you get a nice sort of natural edge.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You see, I was thinking about this. I think we should have lessons with hairdressers because they're really good at blending and chopping in. So actually, if we could have a quick lesson on how to chop in, then we wouldn't need to pull anymore and it would still look natural.
Perfect. Perfect.
So we've done the making a horse look beautiful and white and shiny. I was asking you about the baby oil. Now, I did hear through the grapevine that you've got to be really careful with baby oil in the summer because it can actually burn the horse's skin.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if we put it on us, you know, we put it on us if we want to get a bit more tanned. Mm. So, less is used when it is a hotter day, but obviously you still put a bit on, a bit's not going to harm them. Just make sure you wipe it off after you've done your test, and that's when you want them to look pretty.
Works well. Do you use baby wipes?
Occasionally for their dirty noses.
Yeah.
Or just get a sponge. Sponge always works just as well.
Oh, that's interesting. I find the baby wipes make them extra shiny. Or maybe the horse just looks clean for the first time.
No, that would make sense. That would make sense. I just get sometimes like a tea towel or a rag and just run it over their coat, and that sort of takes, I guess it's the same as a baby wipe, really.
Yeah. So how much of your time then, Frankie, is spent actually riding compared to running the girls? Because you have you got a group of girls that work for Pippa that you have to run, and then grooming?
A couple, just two, yeah. So a couple of girls. I try in the season to do less riding, purely because I'm either not there or I don't have the time. You know, my priority is keeping the horses in the yard in check, so Pip can ride or the other girls can hack the horses. But I do still enjoy it, and I do try and ride it still. I've sort of adopted, redesigned Pip's old good horse just to have a bit of fun on, and you know, he's not really out competing anymore, so I like to go on a little happy hack with him or try and do a bit of dressage. So yeah, no, my majority of my time is on the floor, tacking up, looking after the yard, looking after the girls, making sure everything's in order.
And how often is Pippa there? Do you spend most of your time with each other?
Fair, in the season, we're almost attached to the hip. So where she goes, I'm pretty much there too. But Pip's, she's probably at home the same amount of time I would be at home. Mm. So in the season, that's not a lot.
So you must build a really lovely relationship and trust each other, because you're with each other all the time.
Yeah, definitely. You're living in the lorry together. You're food shopping at M&S on the way to events together. You know, you do. You get
nothing like showering with your boss, is there? Sleeping in the bed next door.
Exactly.
If they've shouted at you that day, it's not like you can get a break and sit there. My thing is, I couldn't imagine Pippa shouting ever, though. She's so lovely.
Oh, no. No, she's fine. She's great to work for, really. She's fair, but great fun. Great fun. Mm.
And has your riding improved since you've been working for her?
I wouldn't like to. I don't know. Probably not. Oh, no, it has. No, to be fair, when she's helped me a few times, obviously it's improved then. But I think I'm too lazy to ride properly now.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, isn't it, that actually that's not what you were employed for. Mm. You were employed for the horse care than the riding. You know, I've often thought, oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be a groom, because I just love the kissing and the cuddling of the horses and the feeding them and all that sort of stuff. But I'm a rubbish rider. So I think, oh, no one would employ me because I'm really bad. But it's interesting that actually if you'd really like to be a groom, then yes, you need basic knowledge of riding. You need to be able to get on anything and feel confident and be safe.
Yeah.
But it is more about for some people, it's more about the care.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, God, I work for four-star Olympic event rider and I won't jump over 90 centimetres, but it doesn't bother me. Mm. You know, it doesn't interest me at all to be jumping big fences. So, no, you don't have to be an amazing rider. You just have to have that passion and love to make sure that you do your job to the best that you can, and the horses are cared for, really.
So do you run all the veterinary visits, the farrier visits, the physio?
Yeah, so certain things me and Pip sort of run along together, or I'll double check with her that she wants this done or whatever. But in general, yeah, the farrier gets sorted, the vet if I needed vaccinations. Try and oversee everything.
So, Frankie, I've got to ask you, these three-day events then, you've got the dressage on one day, you've got the cross-country on another, and then the horses, I find it fascinating at the end of the cross-country course when it's chaos. Everybody comes from nowhere. They're like little ants that charge over to the horse. And can you talk me through that process? The minute that Pippa finishes her cross-country run, what is your job? What do you have to do?
That horse needs to be cooled down and get ice on its legs. Any nicks, it might have just sort of caught a stifle. You want to get that cleaned, iced on, maybe if the vet needs to see it. But main priority is to get that horse walking still, cooled off. And yeah, in a situation that you're ready to not have a crazy night awake all night icing and keeping your horse sound for the next morning. So hopefully, as long as they've come back sound and fine, you're thinking of the next morning for trot up, that your horse is 110% to go and pass and do your show jumping.
Is that a worrying time for you as a groom?
Oh, it's the worst night. Saturday night is the worst night, because obviously you want your rider and your horse to finish the whole competition. And when they're on the cross country, you feel sick. You just want it for them. You want it for the horse. You want it for the team. Everyone who's involved. So yeah, it's a very nerve-wracking day and evening.
So you have the relief when they come around safely and they finish, and then you've still got hours of worry that the horse needs to recover.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, majority of the time they are fine, and you're just doing a couple of icing and putting them to bed and letting them rest. But then there's obviously the odd time that isn't as easy. But you do what you can to get your horse to the Sunday morning, really.
And what do you have to do to get them to the Sunday morning, apart from icing?
So icing is a very big thing that I think everybody ices their horse after cross country. Icing, it depends how old your horse is. Some horses, older horses, might need sort of a bit more walking just to, so they don't seize up so much. They might come out stiffer on the Sunday morning. But other than that, there's not too much, unless there's any complications. If it's straightforward, there's not a lot.
And then, so Sunday morning then, when you get up, you know, you've got show jumping that day.
Yeah.
Oh, nerve. Everyone's feeling a bit nervous. And you have to do the trot up. So for an average big 3-day event, what time would you be up in the morning?
On a good Sunday morning, you would be up probably about, say, 5:30, maybe a tad earlier.
Wow.
Trot up's normally sort of 8-ish. So if your horse looked good the night before, there's no need to be getting up ridiculously early if you know what you've got. But if your horse wasn't looking so great, then you'd try and get in the stables as early as you could, which is normally sort of 5. Yeah.
Have you ever had any days when you've stayed in the stable with the horse all night?
No, not all night. I think Burley, a couple of years ago, when we had Redesign there in Second Supreme, I think it was stayed in there quite late. Redesign didn't. We trotted him, we presented him on the Sunday, but then we decided to withdraw him. That was, I think I did a late one and an early one then.
Well, yeah. They're like your horses. You're with them so long. You love them completely. Just as much. Oh, yeah, God, definitely. I've had nights down the field with Blackjack over nothing, over a few fireworks, and I'll stay down there in case they stress. You know, you just want to make sure they're safe.
Yeah, exactly.
For you, it's big enough pressure, I should imagine, in the UK, but you then have the added pressure that, you know, you're an Olympic groom. So you have to go to, you went to Rio, but what difference is there from grooming over here to grooming at the Olympics?
So obviously Brazil climate was very different.
Yeah.
It was a lot warmer, so the horses obviously had to adjust to that. We had sort of fans in the stable, the team got that already before we got there, and obviously you rug them slightly different.
Did you feel different? Were you slightly nervous? I think I'd be nervous about doing my job, even though I know what I'm doing. You know, you've got all these incredible people there.
No, definitely. So I had never really been to a hot country as such with a horse. So I was sort of like, well, okay, you feel a little bit out of your depth because you don't know what to expect. And yeah, it was very different.
Were they supportive though?
Oh yeah, great. No, we had a great team. Team GB was, brilliant.
And did you fly out there with the horses?
So the horses left a day after us. So the grooms flew out a day before the horses, and then we met them there. So we sort of had, I don't know, maybe about 20 hours without the horses, getting everything sorted, sussing everything out. A lot of the stuff was already set up. Our farrier had been out there and got it all sorted. So we just checked we have anything.
I'm guessing it's pretty much the same then as what you do in the UK. It's just you're under the global spotlight. But it's the same sort of processes that you would go through weekly anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It's just an aeroplane in the middle of it, really.
Oh, well, I'm pleased. You can say that forever now that you've groomed at the Olympics, which is quite exciting. How do we get you on this FEI list of super grooms?
I don't actually know.
Oh, we need to get you on there.
I don't
Alan's
know.
Amazing, but he keeps winning it.
I know. I tell you who really deserves it is Rachel Tolley, who groomed for Tina. She's done, I think, 23 years or something with Tina. And we need to get her on it. Definitely.
Okay, so we need to make a nomination for her then.
Yes, exactly.
And how long have you been grooming for Pippa?
I'm in my fourth season now.
Okay. And is this where you'd like to stay? Is this where you see your future? Would you like to be in 20 years' time?
No, I think I love it, but I don't think I can play horses for the whole of my life. I mean, I'd love to, but if I could, I would. but I think I might be calling this season my last one.
No way.
Yeah, I know. But then saying that, I've said that for the past 2 years. So
what are you going to do?
I'm actually trying to become a prison officer.
No way. That's totally different. Hold on, does Pippa know this?
Yeah, no, she does. She does.
Okay. Does she just keep holding on for you, saying, well, next year, be a prison officer next year?
I think we're both a little bit like, oh, I don't know what to do. But no, I mean, wow, I'd love to stay doing it, but I'd love a bit more time, sort of, you know, seeing family and stuff like that. So it's not that I don't love the job at all. I love the job. And if I was sat on a pile of money, then you wouldn't qualm about it. But, you know, there's different things in life that you want and need sometimes.
Well, you're going to be looking at family soon and wanting your own family.
Yeah.
And I know you're only 28, but trust me, you hit 30 and that clock will be ticking, Frankie. You need maternity leave because it can't be easy for grooms. But, you know, it's not like you can have a family whilst you're doing this because you're away so much.
Yeah. Well, like it's with my boyfriend, and sort of the first year we got together, it was quite different for him to sort of understand that I'm not at home much. Mm. And he comes from a non-animal background. So yeah, it took a while for him to be like, oh no, it's okay. You're just in a field in the middle of somewhere.
Absolutely. Oh, well, he's still sticking around. So that's good.
Yeah,
he must be the one.
He understands now.
Yeah. What are you like? You can come and stay in the horse box with me, but there's two other girls and there's Pippa and there's horses, but you're welcome.
And everything. Yeah.
Well, Frankie, it sounds like you really enjoy your job, and it sounds like you have a great relationship with the team, and you've picked the perfect career for you. I'm kind of sad for you that you're thinking of giving it up.
Don't, because then you'll make me say it, because second thoughts.
Well, not until you've at least tried the hairdryer, put in the hair extensions and changed the colours of the manes.
It could be a game changer.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I would absolutely love to catch up with you in a few months' time. If you wouldn't mind giving us some more tips and advice, I could just soak up loads of information from you. Maybe we could catch up at an event one day if you have time.
Yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
Do like a Facebook Live or a Periscope Live on Horse Hour. We say, right, show us how white Billy the Biz is looking.
Pick a dry day then.
Okay. And some tips. Can we follow you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter?
Yeah, of course you can. Oh, God, I don't know what I am. What am I?
I don't know.
I think it's something like Frankie Doodle. Type in Frankie Doodle, it'll come up with something.
Frankie Doodle.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody that you would really like to say thank you to who massively support you and Pippa?
Pip definitely supports me. Definitely. Everybody, you know, the team that's always around you 24/7. Probably my mum for putting me in a pair of wellies and shoving me in the muck heap. That probably was my starting point of my career. But yeah, it's everyone who's involved.
Oh, how lovely. Well, thank you so much, Frankie. We'll see you very soon.
Yep, thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. As always, you wouldn't be able to do your job without the wonderful sponsors. So a quick thank you to NAF, Toggy, Champion, Foul Pro, Kentucky Horseware, and Alan and Paige for sponsoring Pippa and Frankie and keeping them doing what they're doing. If you'd like advice or a little bit of help if you're thinking about becoming a groom, then I highly recommend going and checking out the British Grooms Association. They're a great support network. If you're starting out and thinking, yep, this is what I want to do as a career, or maybe you are a groom, you need a bit of advice, a bit of help, then go and have a look at them on Twitter and Facebook and their website as well. Of course, if you need any more advice, then you can ask on Horse Hour. Just use hashtag Horse Hour in your tweet, your Facebook or your Instagram too. And can't wait to see what you've been up to with your horses. It's competition season starting. I just hope that some of the events do manage to go ahead this weekend because of the snow. How are you coping with that? I feel quite lucky. I ordered a huge bale of hay, massive, massive round bale. So I'm super organised. And the horses, bless them, are rugged up because they live out 24/7. So it's times like this. I feel really guilty. But our Canadian friends who are used to horrific weather are probably thinking, hey, that's nothing. A little bit of snow, we can handle that. Whilst in the UK, we go on to complete full-on shutdown. So I do hope that you're okay with your horses. I know that we worry quite a lot. And maybe send some photos of your snow days, your snow duvet days with your horses. I hope you have a really good week with your horse. And I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8pm UK time, 3pm Eastern, by using the hashtag HorseHour, follow Amy at AmyStevenson1, and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.